I really enjoyed that. Ooh. Yeah, it's good. So I want to stay in that place. That's actually what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to be a good little preacher, man. I'm going to keep to the time that I set myself. But we're going to engage, okay? Okay, don't tune out. Stay here. Don't come back into your body and try to get it with this. Okay? Stay there and here at the same time. Stay there. Your spirit man expanded. Okay? There's much greater understanding there. And be like a smart cow. Okay? If you hear something that you're not sure about, be a smart cow. Chew the hay. Spit out the sticks. Okay? You don't agree with something, you are powerful. You don't agree with something that I'm bringing tonight, feel free to put it aside and park it. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to talk about sitting on your mountain. Have you heard that phrase? Okay? We're called to sit on our mountain. Have you heard that phrase before? It's one of these modern mystic phrases that you're like, yeah, sit on my mountain. What does that mean? And it's just come up a lot recently, so I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to give it some context. I'm going to set it in the Bible. I'm going to explain my version of it and my experience of it. If my beloved wants to tap me out at some point, she'll come and she'll share a little bit. If I tag you in. Yeah. Because she's got some great testimonies about this. And then we're going to engage it, and we're going to do it. And then we're going to worship some more. Okay, are you aware that when you worship, what you actually do is you go up the mountain? Okay, are you aware of that? Let me explain. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the streams and the rivers. Who may ascend onto the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to what is false, nor sworn oaths deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who diligently seek him and require him as their greatest need, who seek your face, even as Jacob did. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be lifted up, ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift them up, ancient doors. Ancient doors, lift them up, that the King of glory may come in. Are you aware that when you begin to worship, which is just one of the ancient pathways of ascension to his presence. It's one. Prayer is another. Meditative prayer, which is a slightly different form of prayer, is another. Speaking is another. Teaching is another. They're all ancient paths. Why is it when I worship, I feel the Lord's presence so much? And then when I do my everyday life, I don't. Wait a minute. What if I open the ancient path of worship upon my life? And I begin to become aware 24/7 of his presence. Because he never will he leave you or forsake you. He's always there. It's our perspective. It's time to get a new perspective. What kind of perspective do you want? What vantage point do you want? Would you like to be in the valley? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it shall not come near me. His rod and his staff that come for me. So shall we walk through the valley as a vantage point? It's a terrible vantage point. The valley of the shadow, not a good vantage point. How about high up on the mountain? How's that for a vantage point? Do you know how to sit on your mountain? Why is it a mountain? Think about it for a moment. Why is it described as a mountain? What is the advantage of a mountain? If you are on the pinnacle of the mountain, you barely have to move. And you can see for miles. The higher the mountain, the more you can see. This is why it's a mountain, okay? Let me slow down, yet keep my pace. Okay, what is your mountain? It is your sphere of influence. It is your seat of government, okay? Don't worry if your brain's not getting it all. It'll catch up later. It's fine. Your spirit's expanding, okay? It is your seat, is a throne. You have a destiny. You have a calling. You have a sphere of influence. You have a mandate. Before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you according to my purposes, he says. We were there. Before creation, I knew you and I called you. It's a different verse. Before the foundation of the world, I knew you and I called you according to my purposes. We were there. When creation began, we were there. And we made an agreement with him. We said, send me. He said, this is my plan for your life. And in your perfect spirit man self, you said, that's good. I'm going to go do that. And when we get born, do you know at the moment of conception? Forgive it. This won't get blue, I promise. At the moment of conception, when the sperm hits the egg, there's a flash of light. What is that? A lovely teacher we love named Ian Clayton has said that that is the doorway, the portal opening up from heaven to the moment of conception where your eternal spirit enters the physical body. So what happens when it's coated in flesh? Well, we learn to forget, unfortunately. And we're clouded with this matrix all around us that looks so real. And we forget our eternal purpose. But we don't have to forget. We can remember. And part of remembering is to do with sitting on your mountain and governing your sphere of influence, your mandate, your destiny. There are plenty of mountains in the Bible. So why is this called a mountain, okay? There are loads of mountains. There are loads of named mountains. Hebraic people are very, very deliberate. There are loads of mountains with names in the Bible. Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, Mount Olives. There's more. Mount Horeb. And if you go through the Bible and you do studies on the various mountains, there are various things that happen on the mountain. On one mountain, Abraham sacrificed Isaac. While supposedly that is the same, that was a foreshadowing of the same mountain where Jesus was crucified. Great, there is a named mountain. There's another mountain. There's the mountain where Moses goes up and meets with the Lord. It's the same mountain that Elijah goes up and meets with the Lord. It's the same mountain where Jesus goes up and meets with the Lord. But there's one mountain that they don't really name, and that's the Mount of the Lord. They don't name this one for some reason. Why wouldn't they name the Mountain of the Lord, except to call it the Mountain of the Lord? Listen to this. Matthew 8:3. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. No name. Matthew 14:23. After he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. I think it's very cute of us to think that every morning Jesus got up and went to the mountain to pray. Did Jesus get up at 3 a.m. and go hiking for 2 hours and climb a mountain and sit with the Lord for hours and hours finding what he needed to do today and then hike all the way back down? I mean, it must have been noon by then, I guess. And then went and traveled somewhere, which must have taken hours because they didn't have taxis, you know? Nothing. And motorbikes, anyway, whatever. And jetpacks. And then he did all the work and fed all the guys and did all the things and all the miracles and everything. And, you know, and then the sun goes down at some point. Maybe he didn't need sleep. Maybe he didn't need food. Then you have to get up at 3 a.m. and go up the mountain again to pray. Hang on a minute. There's something wrong here. And they never name the mountain. Why? Where's the mountain? Where's the mountain? Where's he actually going? He's going to a place in the Spirit. He's going and meeting face to face with the Father in a place in the Spirit. The Mount of Transfiguration, where he took Peter and John and James. Took the inner three, the inner circle. Why did he take the inner circle only? Well, the other guys would have slowed him down. These three were fast. They could climb up the mountain really quickly with him. No. The inner circle perhaps had knowledge and experience and understanding with Jesus because they were the inner circle. And they could perhaps go up the mountain together and have the same vision. Maybe Jesus could overshadow them with his Spirit and take them with him. And where did he go? He went and met with the Father. But before he meets with the Father, he meets with Moses and Elijah. Now that's really interesting. Didn't Moses go up the mountain to meet with God? Didn't Elijah go up the mountain to meet with God? And then Jesus goes up the mountain. I mean, these are three different time periods. Maybe Moses went up the mountain so he could be there when Jesus brought James and John and Peter. Whoa! The meeting. Whew. The priest, the prophet, the king on the mountain. The Father says, I'm well pleased. Peter says, he opens his mouth and changes feet and says, I'll build a tabernacle for you, Lord, so you guys can hang out here forever. I love Peter. He gives hope for all of us. Now, here's another great thing about the mountain, okay? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He with clean hands and a pure heart. I want to encourage you with something. You are not disqualified from going up your mountain. You are not disqualified from meeting face to face with the Lord. Okay? But I don't have clean hands and a pure heart. I know my sins. I hide them from the rest of the world. I hide them from the Father, like Adam. He can't see me. Where are you, Adam? Do you think the Lord didn't know where he was? Where are you, Adam? I can't find you to walk with you. But he knows everything. I'm hiding. Really? I'm hiding because if I hide, you won't see the sin that I've did, and it's really bad. He with clean hands and a pure heart. I want to encourage you to read Zechariah 3. Joshua, the high priest. What happens? You know, to be a high priest and to be the one who gets to go into the place of the Holy of Holies used to be like a year of ritual bathing, cleansing, and meditation to be holy enough to step through the veil. And by the way, the veil was 12 inches thick, woven together material. So how did he get through there anyway? Legend says that there was like a maze that they taught them through the veil. But, you know, I reckon he was just so whacked in the spirit that he just went, and I'm in the spirit, and shoosh, skadoosh, and I am through the veil. Skadoosh. He definitely said that. That was a Yiddish word. That's a Hebrew word, I'm sure of it. Kiddush. Zechariah is in the spirit, and he says, he's before the Lord. And then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand, accusing him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes, and he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin. I will put fine garments on you. Then I said, Zechariah is there in heaven in the spirit. And he said, and put a turban on his head too. He was really into it. Yeah. Put crown there. Maybe you don't like turban. I don't know. So they put a turban on his head, a clean one, and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Cool. We have influence in heaven. How fantastic. Why was Zechariah there? Because he had the revelation already that all he had to do was show up, and he'd get a clean robe and a clean turban and a ring and whatever. He probably knew. He's like, he walked in, he got the robe, he got the ring, he got the turban. It's the prodigal son story, isn't it? How many of us went away and did our own thing, even when we're Christian, or still do our own thing anyway? And there's the Father waiting. Oh, come on. Come on, come back. And we think it so literally. We're like, oh, yes, I must repent. I must turn my way. But where does the Father live? On the hill of the Lord. Where are we supposed to go? Up the hill. Up the mountain of the Lord. He's there, he's waiting with a fresh robe and a fresh ring and a fresh crown. Because you're a priest and you're a king and you're a son. So I want to encourage you, you are not disqualified. You just show up. And I want to encourage you slightly further. Where is the Lord? The mountain of the Lord, Mount Zion. Mount Zion, that's what it's called. The hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord. It says hill in some translations, but in more Hebraic translations, it says the mountain of the Lord. And I just want to encourage you one more time, because this is fantastic. Where is it? I want to read it because it's just so good. The mountain of the Lord, New Jerusalem, the holy city, Mount Zion. The mountain is also a city. That's very interesting. It's a mountain, but it's a city. That's very interesting. Where else is city? Where else is city used? A city set upon a hill. Very interesting. A city set upon a hill. A city, a mountain, a place of influence. Parable of the talents. Matthew 25 has, he gave this guy 10 and this guy 5 and this guy 1. He gave them according to their measure of willingness to use the talent. And this guy made more, and he got more, and he got more. Well, if you go to the Luke version, very interesting. In the Luke version, he says, well done. You've taken my 5 and you've turned it into 10. You shall have 10 what? Cities. If you are willing to sit in your place of government and rule and reign over that place, he will give you more. He'll give you cities. He'll give you plural. He will give you multiple mountains to sit upon. And because of quantum physics, science has finally caught up with the Bible and given us a framework where we can be in multiple places at once. Because I'm right here, but I'm also seated with Christ in heavenly places. I can preside over multiple mountains at the same time. I can sit on the mountain of my family and the mountain of my marriage and the mountain of my extended family and the mountain of Glory Company and the mountain of my business and my workplace and my children's school. Because I'm willing. Who shall I send? Send me, Lord. Isn't that interesting? And what did Jesus do when he went up his mountain? He looked at the blueprint for the day. And then he went and he did it. That's all he did. He brooded. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Yadeh, vaveh, yadeh, vaveh. Thank you, Father. What does my day look like? I want to get into alignment with my day today. The angel is reading my scroll of destiny out that you had planned for me for this day. I'm brooding over the face of my day, brooding over the face of my day like a hen over her chicks, brooding. Brooding. Where else was there brooding? Brooding over the face of the deep. The Father brooding before creation began. Where did Jesus learn it? Before creation began. What is within your very essence, your very DNA, your very spirit? The same DNA, the same blood is in your veins. You are capable of remembering and brooding over your day. Father God, what do you have for me today? I take responsibility. I want to do it, Father. Whatever you had for me today, whatever you planned for me today, that's what I want. Amen. I'm just going to read you one last thing that I love. And then we're going to do this, if you're willing. And then we're going to worship. This is worship. This is a form of worship. I love this. This is also from Zechariah 3. It's just a little bit further. Here it is. So he's just put a clean turban on his head and clothed him. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And in 6-8, it says this. And the angel of the Lord solemnly and earnestly admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, remain faithful, and perform my service, then you will also govern my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you free access to my presence among these who are standing here. Did you get that? Joshua shows up. All he does is show up. He gets his clean hands and a pure heart there by showing up. The Lord cleanses him. The Lord dresses him. And then the Lord says, govern. Govern for me. See, here's what it looks like to sit on your mountain. Show up. Brood. Okay? Here I go. Get a sense of what your sphere of influence is. Don't limit the Father either. The first time he showed me my sphere of influence, I diminished it. I said, that's too big, Father. I'll just have this. And he's like, all right then. I cut my sphere of influence in half that day. And he let me get a sense of it. What is it? Start small. First Jerusalem, then Samaria, then the rest of the world. Okay, start small. If you're practicing, just do your family. Your family is definitely a sphere of influence. Okay, just do your family. Thank you, Father God, for my family. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Shall we do this together? Do you want to stand? Do you want to sit? I don't mind how you want to do it. Okay. Let's do it. Okay. If you want to sit, that's fine. All that I ask is if you sit, I want you to make a small motion like moving forward, because something in the physical that you do with your body becomes a platform of faith through which the faith in the spirit can engage, okay? So if you're standing, we're going to take a small step forward. If you're sitting, just like at least move your head forward, okay? So Father God, we just take a step into the courts. Woo. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You looking around? Look around. Maybe you can see something. The faintest glimmer, guys. Don't ignore it. The faintest little hint of a glimmer that you see. Engage it. Faith. Be by faith. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Be by faith. Okay, now just begin to take your family. Okay, so first just picture your family, okay? And what I do is I picture them just right in front of me in a small little like snow globe. Okay, that's a good sphere of influence. A snow globe. Put your family in there, okay? Okay, just see them sitting there, standing there, whatever. Your favorite photograph of them, who cares? Whatever it is. Engage your sanctified imagination. You have the mind of Christ. Imagine your family in the globe. Now hold the globe in front of you, okay? And like a hen brooding over her egg, just begin to... Thank you, Lord. Father, we just want to engage our sphere of influence, sit on our mountain. We want to govern over our family, your will, your way. We're going to speak life and health over our family. We're going to speak that they all will know the Lord. We just hold them. Okay, now take the globe and just take the globe. Begin to put it inside your heart, okay? Actually, move your hands towards your chest because the physical motion is a good engagement exercise. Begin to put that globe. Just put it right in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe even you feel your flesh yield to receive it. And just hold your hand over your chest now, over your heart. Just hold it. Hold your family there, guys. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my family. I begin to engage your scroll for my family. I intercede on behalf of them. I hold them in my heart. I love on them. I want to love them the way you love them, Lord, unconditionally, without judgment. I want to hold their health in my heart right now, Lord. I want to extend your healing hand over them now. I want to extend your hand of salvation over them now that all of them would know you. I want to extend your will, your kingdom over them right now. Your realm of heaven over them right now. That they will always walk in your ways. They will never part from it. Ah. How's that feel? Mine feels like a burning coal in my heart. How's that feel? Does that feel? You getting that?
Don't worry if you don't feel anything. It's okay. Believe it anyway. Okay? Don't be like the guy who looked in the mirror and then turned away and forgot what he just saw, right? Don't be like the guy who asked for wisdom and then when he got it, doubted it. Okay? It's okay if you don't feel it. It's okay. If you do, that's great. That's wonderful. Go with it. The Hebraic people were very, very emotional. They engaged their emotions. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to laugh, to cry. Okay, hold them in your heart. Hold them, hold them. Now, God put eternity in your heart. Why? Because God put himself in your heart as well. And it's very hard for your brain to fathom. So when you hold them in your heart, you're holding them in the Father's heart as well. Okay. Okay, good, good. Okay. Congratulations. You have just sat on your mountain and governed over an element of the kingdom in your life. Well done. Would you like to go, we'll do one more exercise. Would you like to go bigger? Want to go bigger? Okay, ready? Take out your snow globe. Okay, are you still there? Are you still in the courts? Do you feel, if you don't feel like you're still in the courts because I started talking and you started looking at me, by all means, take another step forward. Go back, go into the kingdom. Go again. If you're already there, that's fantastic. Well done. Okay, you got your snow globe? Use your sanctified imagination. You have the mind of Christ. You ready? I want you to look at your city where you live, the city where you live. See it in miniature in your snow globe. Can you see it? See it? Maybe you want to go bigger. I don't. You want to do your county? You want to do whole country? I don't mind. Whatever, whatever. The Father says, whatever, the sky's the limit. What do you want to do? Sometimes I start at my city and I make a balloon noise like my spirit's expanding. And I go from my city over the whole county. I go, and I inflate my spirit more. And now I'm over all of West Sussex. Oh, but it's a sphere of influence, so it's like a 20-mile radius. That's not big enough. 50-mile radius. Okay, let's practice. Okay, you got your snow globe, you got your city or your county or whatever you want to do, your whole country. Go ahead, look at it. Hold it in your hand. Hold the snow globe. Hold it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's why witches have crystal balls. Seriously. They accidentally cottoned on to something. You know, they're not using it the right way, but they cottoned on to something, you know. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Hold my city in my heart. I hold it in my hands, Father God. I brood over it. Go ahead, guys. Begin to take that globe, that city. Just go ahead, press it. Press it into your heart. You have eternity in your heart. You can certainly hold a city. It's no big deal. Oh, put it in there. Oh, yes. Oh, that means I've also put it in the Father's heart. It's like bringing it to his attention. Oh, God, I want to love everyone in my city like you love them. I want to love my whole city. I want to love the government of it. I want the government of my city to get in line with the government of heaven, God. I want a full righteousness, Lord God. I want the people in my city to begin to think in righteous ways, Lord. Oh, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. Father, I want your thoughts. I want your ways over my city now, over my county now, over my country now. Oh, Jesus, I want your ways. Your ways are higher than our ways. Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to be. Father, whatever I begin to imagine for my city, the good things for my city, yours is incredible. Exceedingly, abundantly more than I desire. Father, let me see through your eyes for my city. Let me see your ways. Let me see your desires for my city. I want what you want, Lord God. I want what you want. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth as in heaven, Lord God. I want my city on earth to be a shadow of your city. I want my mountain to be a shadow of your mountain. I want my city to be a shadow of your city, of the New Jerusalem, of Zion. Love and health. Father God, I want to release your health, your peace, your shalom, your sozo, your nothing missing, nothing broken, pure salvation, nothing missing, nothing broken, health and healing. I'm going to release it now. And now sometimes I do this and I throw my arms wide like a shockwave going across my whole city. Release it now. Boom! Across the whole city, Lord God. Skadoosh. If you've not seen that scene in that movie, Kung Fu Panda, if you've seen that scene where the light goes across the whole valley, that's what it looks like. How's that, guys? Does that feel good? Do you feel like you did something? It's okay. Some of you went, yeah, I feel like I did something. And then a little nagging voice said, no, you didn't. Okay, grab that voice. Grab it. We're in Zion right now. We are in the courts of Father. Grab that little thing. It's called a familiar spirit. And just put it before the Father. And let the Father deal with that. Voice of doubt, nagging voice, you can go. Thank you, Jesus. It's good. It's good. Happy. Feel like you know how to govern. Practice, practice, practice. Practice it. Well, I managed to stick to 25 minutes for the talking, but then I went 10 more minutes for the engagement exercise. I hope that was good for you guys. All right? It's good. So we're going to worship a bit more.
Faithful and true. His name is faithful. His name. Judges and makes war.